Psalm 123, as you all know, is one of my favorite psalms. And I've already told the young people know that I really love the Psalms of Ascent. And Psalm 123, it's just a blessed psalm. All of the Psalms of Ascent, especially, all the psalms are blessed, but Psalm 123, very special psalm. It didn't take me but, you know, a few minutes to really put together this handout. You know, hopefully I didn't have any typos in it. But it begins a song of ascents, or a song of degrees in your old King James Version. That is part of the verse. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. 3. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. 4. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. This is the word of the Lord, and he'll most certainly add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy truth. Again, as it's just provided in your handout, the Songs of Degrees as a whole, that's what we've had in the last three Psalms of Ascent, and this fourth Psalm of Ascent is no different, so I'm not going to read that. But Mr. Spurgeon in the Treasury of David has this to say of the title, A Song of Degrees. We are climbing. The first step, Psalm 120, saw us lamenting our troublesome surroundings, and the next saw us lifting our eyes to the hills and resting in assured security. From this we rose to delight in the house of the Lord, but here we look to the Lord himself, and this is the highest ascent of all by many degrees. The eyes are now looking above the hills and above Jehovah's footstool on earth to his throne in the heavens. Let us know it as the Psalm of the Eyes. Old authors call it Oculus Sperans, or the Eye of the Hope. It is a short psalm written with singular art, containing one thought and expressing it in a most engaging manner. Doubtless, it would be a favorite song among the people of God. It has been conjectured that this brief song, or rather sigh, may have first been heard in the days of Nehemiah, or under the persecutions of Antiochus. It may be so, but there is no evidence of it. It seems to us quite as probable that afflicted ones in all periods after David's time found this psalm ready to their hand. If it appears to describe days remote from David, it is all the more evident that the psalmist was also a prophet and sang what he saw in vision. Our devotional thoughts from Psalm 123. Our reflections, every thought of the Lord Jesus Christ continually sought the glory of his heavenly Father, as we see in verse 1 and also as the Lord Jesus testified in John 5 and verse 19. You know, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. The Lord Jesus, as the extolled servant of the Lord, that we know from Isaiah 52 verse 13, served the Father vigilantly with his spiritual eyes ever upon him, as we see in verse 2, and also as Jesus testified in John 5 and verse 30. Jesus secured mercy for you and me by his perfect sacrifice on Calvary's tree, as the cry in verses 3 and 4 is for mercy. And I would like to point this out too. You notice that in verse 2 it says, behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. That's a very human thing to do. We seek God till we receive mercy. Once we receive mercy, we don't look anymore. That's why verse 3 says, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. Because if I put it this way, at what time do we ever not need God's mercy? Never. We need God's mercy always. Always, always, and always. And did I mention, Sister Brielle, always? Always. So it's a very interesting psalm in that. Here's our application. When are we ever given permission to avert our eyes of our faith from the Lord Jesus? The answer to that is the same as when I mentioned mercy. Never. So we see this in verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes. To know God's will in Christ for our lives. Young people, this is a very important thing. To know God's will in Christ for our lives is like the servant who waits upon the dinner table, standing by the master of the feast, looking for the slightest indication from him, a nod, a gesture, pushing his plate away, etc. So we may respond, filling his cup, clearing his place, bringing out his dessert, and so forth, like in verse 2. You know, maybe you've seen in some of these old movies where someone who is a servant or a butler in a very rich and wealthy house, and after the dinner is served up on the table, the servant stands by the doorway and watches the master of the feast for any kind of movement, so that if he nods or whatever he does or gestures, his cup is empty. Even without him saying it, the servant is right there to fill the cup or take away the plates or do whatever they need to be doing. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. When we're to look at the Lord from his word, that we see when his word says something that we're ready to do it. And that's what that is talking about in verse 2. Because of the corruption still remaining in our mortal flesh, we need Christ's constant supply of gracious mercy. For a single look upon the enthroned King tells the soul we need his mercy above all things, as it says in verse 3. The weakness of our flesh is contemptible before his royal highness, and because our corruptible mortality continually falls short of God's glory in Christ, our souls have had quite enough of this struggle, as it says in verse 4. And so we pray to hasten the Lord's coming, as we read this week in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 14, which parallels what we see at the very end of the Bible when Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly," Revelation 22, verse 20. The prayer of John is, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus," because sometimes we get fed up with, I feel like I'm on one of those habit trails or something, like a hamster going round and round in a circle, because I'm doing okay, but I'm going nowhere, because I do good and then I sin. I seek God's mercy. I receive God's mercy. I'm doing well and then I stumble. When is it all going to end? Come quickly, Lord. And that's one of the things that we get from this. There's more that you can glean from this psalm than that, but that's some of the simple and wonderful stuff. Here's our devotional challenge from Psalm 123. Reflect upon the first verse, and seeing our ascended Lord Jesus seated as King upon the throne. Consider what distractions you have encountered in the past to keep your attention from Christ and your focus upon something else other than Christ. How did those things arise? When do they typically occur? Does this discourage you when it happens? How do you react or respond as a result? And there should be a question mark after that, because it's a question. Next is, in your challenge, read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. How does this New Testament verse help you to understand verses 1 and 2? How does this New Testament verse help you apply verses 1 and 2 to your daily day-to-day life? That's keeping your eyes upon Lord and then serving him because we're looking upon him. And finally, in response, respond to this devotional challenge with this. When you catch yourself distracted from lifting up your eyes to the enthroned Lord, and you find yourself being discouraged by your failure, seek Christ's mercy from reading verses 3 and 4. That is, look to the atoning grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus' sufferings, death, and resurrection. You know, look to the cross. Look to Christ crucified. Is it powerful enough to cause you to rejoice in his sacrifice on the cross? Is his supply of mercy more than you can ask or think? Prepare to give your testimony next week. So to simplify it, in other words, sometimes we want to focus upon Jesus and we're not thinking of him. But then we catch ourselves, Jesus isn't first and foremost in our lives. Or we catch ourselves thinking about ourselves more than we should be thinking of him. Or we catch ourselves thinking of ourselves and we should be thinking of others. So when that happens, sometimes we get discouraged. Look at the cross every time that happens, where it says verses 3 and 4, ask for mercy. And where do we find the greatest display of mercy in the world, in the universe, for all eternity? The cross of Jesus Christ. So think about that and kind of check yourself this week. And when those instances happen where that occurs, think about the cross and remember it. Write it down if you have to. And prepare to give a testimony next week, because we would be blessed by that when we read Psalm 123 again next week. Any questions or comments? Isn't that a wonderful psalm? I love this psalm. It's so short, but it's so filled with so many things of Christ. I love it. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Brother Mike so we could take some prayer requests if there's no other questions, comments. All right. Oh, go ahead, sister.
I used to be amazed what a wealthy person can serve. The challenge really was a challenge. I had to keep my eye on that hostess to just a nod, like, oh, that glass needs to be refilled or this, that. She had to ring the bell. I was like, because actually I would go out into the kitchen and she'd ring the bell and I'd have to come in and say, what does she need? You know, my challenge was, I didn't want her to have to ring the bell.
Did you hear that, brothers, young brothers and sisters? Sister Vicky, even growing up, had that in her life, and that's what she wanted in her life. And this is what I want as your pastor. This is what I want for your lives, that you grow up with that thing. And you know, you've been given a great opportunity for this. You've been given godly parents in this church. And so when you're looking to your parents like that, for if they have a need and they need something done, like around dinner time, and they need some help, you can watch how you might be able to help them. And that is actually practice for how we serve Jesus. Well, thank you, Sister Vicky. That was wonderful. Brother Mike?